but during the evening, she could be the center of attention.
This week, Radio 3 meets some of the many women composers who've been inspired by the New England creative community, the McDowell Colony. Composer of the Week, weekdays at noon and again at 6:30, here on BBC Radio 3.
And the time now is 9 o'clock. Drama on Three now is by Anton Chekhov. Three Sisters was written in 1900 for the ensemble cast of the Moscow Arts Theatre, and it's regarded as one of the four major plays by this great Russian playwright. The play is set in an unnamed provincial garrison town to the east of the Urals, which Chekhov said was somewhere like Perm. The three sisters of the title, along with their brother, dream of the day that they'll return to their hometown of Moscow. But as real life gets in the way around them, this dream seems increasingly unachievable. The action of the play unfolds over 4 years and opens on a Sunday morning in early May. It's adapted for radio by DJ Britton. Three Sisters by Anton Chekhov.
Open.
There.
I woke up this morning, saw the golden light of spring, and my heart leapt with joy. May the 5th, Arena, your saint's day.
It is glorious out there. And so early, the leaves aren't even out on the birches yet.
12 months to the day since Father died. This time last year, it was snowing. I remember the clock. Striking noon then, too. I can still hear the band playing as they carried Father's coffin along. Soldiers firing a volley. There weren't many there, even though he was a general. But it was snowing. Yes, that's why.
Don't brood on it, Olga, please. Here's Masha.
Masha, don't. Now I can feel a headache coming on. My head aches all the time. It's working all day at that school. You know, I've begun to think like an old woman.
Don't, Olga.
It's true. In the 4 years I've been teaching, I've felt the youth going out of me, day by day, drop by drop. I'm left with only one dream, and it grows stronger and stronger.
I know. To go to Moscow. To sell the house, finish with this place, and go home. To Moscow.
To go to Moscow. Yes. Soon. In Moscow, the leaves will be out now. Moscow would be in bloom.
Masha, stop it. Just because you're the only one who's not free to come to Moscow.
But Masha can come to Moscow. She can stay for the whole summer, every year.
That's all right, then. My heart's so light today. I don't know why. I woke up, remembered it was my saint's day party, and I felt a rush of happiness. I remembered when I was a little girl, when mother was alive. Wonderful thoughts.
A year on and you can wear white again. You look lovelier than ever today. And Masha, she's lovely too. Well, you are. That brother of ours would be good looking if he hadn't put on so much weight. As for me, I've grown older and thinner. I get so cross with the girls, that's what does it. Anyway, Sunday today, no school. I can push the headache away. I feel younger than yesterday. Dear God, I'm only 28. I shouldn't complain, but it does seem to me that if I married and stayed at home all day, life would have been better. By the curving day, the frozen earth. I should have loved my husband. Oh, now where are you going?
Usher. Oh, home. I won't bother with lunch. I'll come back this evening. When Father was alive, 30 or 40 officers used to come to these parties. Now there's only a man and a half, and it's silent as the dead.
Oh, Baron.
Oh, excuse me, Masha, my apologies. Ladies, I have some news for you.
What is it, Baron?
You'll get a visit from our new battery commander today, Colonel Vershinin.
Mm. Is he old?
Arena.
No, not particularly. 40 or 45. He seems personable enough. Not stupid, that's certain. But he does talk a lot.
Is he interesting?
Well, there's a wife, a mother-in-law, and two girls. Second marriage, too. Well, he'll tell you all about it. His wife's a bit strange. Always trying to kill herself, apparently to torment him. Mm, she wears a long plait like a schoolgirl, and then she's full of philosophy and theories. If it was me, I'd have left her long ago, but Machinin puts up with her. Though he does complain. Endlessly.
Dissolve on Tuesday.
Is that the doctor?
Yes, and Captain Solioni.
What I was saying, Doctor, is that with one hand I can lift only 50 pounds, but with both, 180 or even 200 pounds. So two men are not twice as strong as one, but three times, even more.
Ah, Irina, my child.
Doctor! Dear Doctor.
What is it? What?
I want your professional opinion. I am so happy today. Why? It's as though I'm sailing with a wide blue sky and great white birds soaring above. Why is that? What's the diagnosis?
My little white bird.
No, seriously. This morning I woke up and just like that I knew how we should live. Today, dear Doctor, I have the answer. We have to work. We have to toil and sweat. And all the meaning of life, all our happiness, all our desires must come from work.
Father taught us to get up at 7. Now, Irina wakes at that time, but she lies there until at least 9, thinking.
From this morning, I'm resolved. It's better to be an ox pulling a plough, better to be a cart horse, than to be a young lady who wakes up at noon, has coffee in bed, and then spends 2 hours dressing. That's awful. How good it must feel to be a labourer who gets up at dawn and break stones in the street, or a shepherd, or a school teacher, or a train driver on the railway.
That's right. A longing for work. I know what you mean.
You, Baron.
Yes, Masha, me.
Just as on hot days we crave water, I have a craving for work. Hmm. And if I don't get up early and go to work, dear Doctor, then you can turn your back on me.
I shall. I shall do that, Irenka. I'll turn my back on you.
Dear little Irina, so serious.
You shouldn't think of me as a little girl. I'm 20 years old.
I've never worked in my life. I was born in Petersburg. Cold, idle Petersburg. My family shielded me from work. I'd come home from cadet school and my mother would be watching adoringly while the footman pulled off my boots for me. But you're right, Irina. The time has come. A powerful, purging storm is gathering. It'll drive the indifference out of this rotten, bored society. I'm like you. I'm going to work, and in another 25 years or so, everyone will be working. Everyone.
Not me, Baron. I shan't work.
You don't count, Doctor. Does he, Solion?
25 years from now, the Doctor won't even be alive, thank God. In 2 or 3 years, he'll have died of apoplexy, or I'll lose my temper and put a bullet through his angelic features myself.
Well, I've never really done anything. Here I am, a military doctor, and since I left university, I haven't lifted a finger, not even read a single book. I do read the newspapers, and from the newspapers, I know that there was a critic called Dobrolubov, but no one remembers what he said. Anyway, what does it matter? Oh, they're calling me from downstairs. Somebody has come to see me. I'll be back in a moment. Just wait.
The doctor's up to something.
Yes, that look on his face. He's about to bring you a present, Irina.
Not again.
So silly. Just silly.
Masha, you are such a...
Oh, don't take any notice of me. We'll talk later. Goodbye for now, dearest. I'll go... Oh, I don't know. I'll go somewhere.
Oh, but leaving a Saint's Day party?
It's fine. I do understand, Masha.
Oh, understanding. Yes, indeed. And silliness.
Solioni.
Now, what do those words mean, exactly?
Solioni, no.
I think if a man philosophizes, it will indeed be philosophy, or maybe sophistry. But if a woman philosophizes, or two women, well, it's more like flatulence.
Did you say what I thought you said? That's horrible.
As the poet says, before the man could turn and flee, the bear had grabbed him hungrily.
Good grief.
You're in, my child.
What is it, Nanny?
There's a gift from Protter Popoff from the district council. A cake. Huh. Ferapont has it here. Ferapont Spiridonich, are your feet clean?
What's that?
Let me see. Oh. And the other one? Oh, good, good. Then you can take the cake in.
Put it down there, Ferapont. Thank Protter Popoff for me, will you?
What?
You'll have to speak up, dear.
Thank him for me.
How's that?
Oh, come on, Ferapont, my dear. Come on.
Deaf as a post. I don't like that Protter Popoff. He shouldn't have been invited.
He wasn't.
Well, that's fine with me. Oh, look out. Here's the doctor.
Rat-ta-ta-ta!
Silver samovar. This is too much. Nanny, get Ferapont some pie before he goes out again. Nanny!
Pretty sexy.
Silver.
Doctor, what have you done?
I told you.
Doctor, you are incorrigible.
Oh, my darling girls, you're all I have. I'll soon be 60. I'm a lonely, useless old man. Nothing good about me except this love for you. And if it weren't for you, I'd have stopped living long ago. Irina, my child, I've known you since the day you were born. I carried you in my arms. I loved your dear mother. Yeah.
But why such expensive presents?
Expensive presents? Oh, what nonsense. We'll put the samovar on the dining table. Oh, expensive presents.
My dears, there's a colonel downstairs, a stranger.
Who is it, Nanny?
Well, he's already taken off his overcoat and he's on his way up.
That'll be Vashin.
Irina, you be nice and polite. Lunch is already late.
Come in, Colonel. May I present Lieutenant Colonel Vashin?
Thank you, Baron. Gentlemen, ladies, I am very happy to be in your house. How you've grown.
Colonel Vashin, we're pleased to have your company.
But aren't there three sisters? I remember the General had three little girls, not two.
Olga! Olga, come back in here.
Oh, how time goes by. It just goes by.
And Colonel Vashinin, you see, is from Moscow.
From Moscow? You're from Moscow?
Yes. And when your father was battery commander there, I was an officer in the same brigade.
Olga, do come in.
What is it? Oh.
Colonel Vashinin, it turns out, is from Moscow.
You must be Olga Sergeyevna, the eldest. And you are Irina, the youngest? Mm. I don't remember you exactly, only that there were three girls.
That's right.
Ah, this face now. I do seem to remember.
I don't remember you.
You must be Maria.
Marcia.
Marcia, yes.
Well, it is 11 years since we left Moscow.
Your father is clear in my memory. I can close my eyes now and see him as plain as light.
I thought I remembered everybody from Moscow, but I don't think I...
I used to visit your house. My name is Alexander Ignatievich.
Yes, now I remember you. Don't you remember, Olga? In Moscow, they used to call him the lovelorn major. Oh. You were just a lieutenant then and in love with someone, and they all made fun of you as the lovelorn major.
That's right, I was the lovelorn major.
You only had a moustache then. Now, with your beard, how much older you look. How much older.
But there's not a single grey hair. You may be older, but you're still not old.
Well, I shall be 43 next birthday. And when they called me the lovelorn major, I was still young. Mm. Love. I was in love, yes. Mm. Not now. No.
Where did you live in Moscow, Colonel?
In Old Basmany Street.
But that was our street.
Yes.
That was where we lived.
Colonel Alexander Ignatievich Vashinin, and you are from Moscow. It's so unexpected.
We're planning to move back there, you see.
By autumn, back to our birthplace, Old Basmany Street.
Well, before that, I lived in Nemetsky Street.
Mm.
I used to walk to the Krasny Barracks past that mournful bridge where you can hear the water lapping underneath. Enough to make a lonely man sick at heart. Up still, here, you have a superb river. broad and wonderful.
Yes, except it's cold and there are mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. What? No, you have such a fine, healthy Russian climate here with the river and the forest. Those sweet, modest birches, my favourite trees. Seems to me a good place to live. Odd, though, that the railway station is 13 miles away and nobody knows why.
I know why. Because if the station was near, it couldn't be far. And since it is far, it can't be near.
Captain Solioni is quite the comedian.
Yes.
Now, I remember you too. I do remember.
I knew your mother.
She was a lovely woman.
Mother's buried in Moscow.
In the Novodevichy. Masha, what is it?
It's awful, I know, but I'm already beginning to forget her face. But then I suppose none of us will be remembered either. Hmm. The world will forget us all.
Yes, I'm afraid so. That's our fate. But then the things that seem really important to us, they'll be forgotten too. The truth is, no one can tell which ideas from their own age will be remembered and which will be laughed at as ridiculous. Hmm. In their time, weren't the discoveries of Copernicus and Columbus thought of as crackpot, while some other crank's shallow nonsense seemed truthful? Well, who knows? Maybe the way we live now will come to be seen as strange, foolish, immoral, perhaps even sinful.
I'm not sure. Maybe the life we lead now will be thought of as elevated and remembered with respect. After all, there are no tortures these days, but no executions, no invasions. Although, for all that, there is still so much unhappiness.
Don't feed Baron Tusenbach grain, just feed him philosophy.
I wish you'd leave me alone. You're becoming boring. I believe the fact that we're all so disenchanted with the state of the world, its injustices, does show that society has achieved a certain moral elevation.
Baron, you say people will call our present life elevated, but people are small. Look how short I am. If anybody called my life lofty, it would just be to make me feel better.
Listen, that's Andre playing, our brother. He's the scholar of the family. Father was a military man, of course, but Andre chose an academic career for himself.
We've been teasing him lately. It seems he's a bit in love.
With a local girl. Natasha. She'll probably join us today. Oh, you should see how she dresses. Not just ugly and unfashionable, simply pitiful. A loud yellowish skirt with a vulgar fringe and a red blouse. And her cheeks so scrubbed and pink. Andre isn't in love. I won't have it. He's teasing us. He's fooling about. After all, he does have some taste. I heard yesterday that Natasha is set on marrying that Protopopov from the district council. That's just about right for her. Andre, come in here just for a minute.
What is it?
Colonel Vashinin, our brother, Andre.
Oh, delighted.
Andre, can you imagine? Colonel Vashinin is from Moscow.
Oh, yes. Well, I congratulate you. Now my little sisters won't give you any peace.
I think it is I who am tiring them.
This little picture frame Andre gave me today. He made it himself.
Yes. But, interesting.
And the frame over the piano, he made that too.
He's not only a scholar and a musician, he makes things out of wood, too. He does everything well, even if we do tease him.
Don't make a fuss.
Oh, no need to be embarrassed. In Moscow, they called the colonel the Lovelorn Major, and he didn't mind at all.
No, not at all.
I think I shall call Andre the Lovelorn Fiddler. Or the Lovelorn Professor.
Bravo! Bravo!
Andre is in love.
Andre is in love.
Put us on this road.
All right, that's enough. I didn't sleep well, Colonel, that's all. I read till 4 o'clock. Then every morning here, at the crack of dawn, the sun floods into my bedroom. I want to put it to use this summer by translating a book from English in the morning light.
You can read English?
Yes. Father loaded us down with education. Thanks to him, my sisters and I know French, German and English, and Irina knows Italian too. But it was a strain, wasn't it, Masha?
Oh, In this town, to know three languages is an unnecessary luxury. It isn't even a luxury. It's a sort of embarrassing impediment, like a sixth finger. We know so much more than we need.
Really? Well, it seems to me no town could be so dull that an educated person wouldn't be useful in it. Well, let's say that of all the 100,000 people in this town, which, from all you say, is backward and boring, there are only three women such as you. But certainly, in the course of your life, you'll have to go along, to some extent, with the dull majority. Mm. Life may stifle you, but you'll still be here, and you will have an influence. Well, after you've gone, there may be six like you, then 12, and so on, until finally people like you will become the norm. And if that's the case, then in 200 or 300 years, life on Earth will be unimaginably beautiful, wonderful, and I say that such a life must be our aim. And if it's not here yet, then we must dream of it. Be prepared for it. And for this, we must see and know more than our grandparents and our parents. Believe me, what you've learnt, what you are, is far from useless.
I am staying for lunch.
Really, all that should be written down, shouldn't it, Andre? Andre?
He's gone again. He'll come back when the tatter arrives.
Colonel, you say that after many years, life on Earth will be wonderful. Mm-hmm. But surely to share in it, we must prepare for it now. We must work,
what
which
lovely
will...
flowers. And such a beautiful house. I envy you, ladies. All my life I've been stuck in little apartments with two chairs, a sofa and a stove that smokes. Flowers like these are exactly what's been missing in my life. Well, never mind.
As I say, one must work. You're probably thinking, work, work, typical Baron, typical Tusenbach. That's the German speaking. But I am Russian, despite my name. Honestly, I can't even speak German. My father was Russian Orthodox, and he...
I often think that what if we could start life again, and this time we were really conscious of living, as if the life we'd lived so far was just a first draft. I think we should try above all else not to repeat anything, or at the very least we'd create a different little world for ourselves. In a house just like this one, with flowers and bathed in the May sunshine. I have a wife and two girls, and my wife is in poor health and other things. And if I were to begin life over again, I would never marry. No.
Really?
Masha, darling, your husband's here for the party. Come in, Fyodor Ilyich. Irina, another guest.
My dear Irina, let me congratulate you on your saint's day and wish you sincerely good health and all that could be wished for a girl of your age. Let me give this book to you as a present, The History of Our School, written by me. It's a small thing, composed because I had nothing better to do, but all the same, you should read it. Good day, friends, and a new guest, I see. Colonel, I am Fyodor Ilyich Kuligin, teacher at the high school, district councillor. Uh-huh. Now, Irina, in this book you will find a list of all the graduates of our high school for the past 50 years. Feci quod potui, faciant meliora potentes.
But you've already given me this book, at Easter.
Surely not. In that case, give it back. Or better still, give it to the Colonel. Oh. Take it with you, Colonel. Read it when you are bored.
Oh, thank you, yes. I really should be...
Oh, you're not leaving, Colonel.
Stay and lunch with us, please.
Yes, please stay.
I seem to have found myself in a Saint's Day party. Forgive me, please. I did not know.
Do stay, please.
My friends, today is a day of rest. So let's enjoy ourselves as best we can, according to our age and situation. These rugs should be taken up for the summer and stored till winter. What? Persian powder or naphthalene will keep away the moths. The Romans were healthy because they knew how to work and knew how to rest. They had mens sana in corpore sano. Their life progressed according to fixed principles. Our headmaster says, the most important thing in every life is its form. Lose the form and you lose the very existence. Marcia loves me. My wife loves me. And the curtains too, as well as the rugs. Today I am cheerful. I'm in an excellent mood. Oh, Marcia, we are to be at the headmaster's at 4 o'clock. He's arranged a walk for the teachers and their families.
I'm not going.
my dear. Why not?
Oh, all right, I'll go. Just leave me alone, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, lunch is served. Mm. There's a meat pie.
A pie? Oh. Splendid. Splendid man, the headmaster. Noble personality. In spite of his poor health, he does try to be sociable. But let's find some vodka, Colonel.
Vodka. Excellent.
Doctor, you just watch out. You mustn't drink today. Do you hear? You know what it does to you.
For goodness sake, that's all over. Oh. I haven't been on a bender for at least 2 years, you know that. Anyway, what does it matter?
You know what I'm saying. Don't you dare drink. Don't you dare. Oh, damn it. Bored all evening long at the headmaster's house.
If I were you, I wouldn't go. It's quite simple. Don't go.
Don't go. No, it's not that simple. My life is cursed, Doctor. It's unbearable.
What does it matter? Come on.
I'll find Andre. Baron, you go ahead.
Drop it, Solione.
Andre, do come.
Just a minute. I'm coming.
Don't go in yet, Irina. Let them get settled at the table. Marsha's in a bad mood today.
Yes. Married at 18. She saw Kuligin as a shining light of intelligence. That's not how she sees it now.
He is a kind man.
That's not the point. I don't like that Solione of yours, Baron. He's unsettling.
Oh, I think he's shy. Well, when we're alone together, he's friendly enough, but in company, you can come across as crass and a bully. He does annoy me, but somehow I feel sorry for him at the same time. What is it? What are you thinking about?
Everything's so... Oh, never mind. Come on.
Well, wait a moment. Just the two of us, yes? Irina, you're only 20 and I'm not yet 30. We have our whole lives ahead of us.
Baron, don't.
I have to talk to you. What you were saying earlier about a craving for water, I have a passionate thirst for life, for struggle, for work. And it swirls in my soul, Irina. It swirls with love for you.
Don't talk about love, Baron, please.
Please, you have to understand. To me, because you are beautiful, then life seems beautiful.
No, life has not been beautiful, not for me nor for my sisters. It's choked us the way weeds would. Now I'm crying. I mustn't. We must work, just work. That's the answer. Come on.
How generous.
Some pie?
Thank you.
Wait. Shouldn't we wait for Protopopov? Popov?
No, we should not.
Now, Andre has a special guest. Don't you, Andre?
I asked Natasha. Anything wrong with that?
Oh, and those two young subalterns, Rode and Fedotic, they're coming.
Oh, who asked them?
I expect they asked themselves. They usually do.
Well, they are very nice.
We could have another glass before they all arrive.
No, we could not, Doctor. Let's eat. So, meat pie. And for supper, there's roast goose. Oh. Everyone must come again this evening.
May I come?
Yes. Of course, Colonel, please do.
Marsha and I will be spending the evening at the headmaster's. Fine man. Yesterday, after the staff meeting, he said to me, I am tired, Fyodor. Just like that. I am tired. Olga, your clock is 7 minutes fast. Yes, that's what he said. To me, I am tired.
I'm late. They're already sitting down to lunch. All right. Good. Oh, now.
Natasha, come to join us. How are you, my dear?
Olga, thank you for inviting me. But you have so many guests, I feel embarrassed.
It's just family and friends. Oh, you're wearing a green belt, my dear. It's quite wrong.
Is it unlucky or something?
No, it just doesn't go. And it looks a bit odd.
Oh, but it's not really green. It's more a sort of neutral colour.
Never mind. Come in and sit down. Come on.
A toast! Irina! On your saint's day, I wish you a good husband. It's time you married. Irina!
Irina! Irina!
Natasha, I wish you a good husband too.
Oh. Natasha. Natasha. Natasha already has a husband in mind, I'd say.
Give me a drink. Here's to life. Once a bowl of cherries, now a chorus of raspberries.
For conduct, C minus.
A delicious liqueur. What's it made of?
Cockroaches.
Oh, how disgusting.
Is it always this informal?
Always. Never mind, Natasha. Andre, for love alone, did nature put us in this world?
Stop it, everybody. Aren't you tired of it?
Sounds like they're already having lunch. It does indeed, my dear Fedotic. And since we're late, a few more minutes won't matter. Camera ready?
Camera always ready, my dear Rodé. I shall call this one Birch Buds in May.
What about me?
Stand there, Lieutenant R. Smile at the birdie. Look this way, Rodé. Mm-hmm. Wait, one more. One. Two.
There. Come on, my friend. The beautiful Irina awaits us.
There's a queue for that young lady, Rodé, and we are well down the pecking order.
Buk, buk, buk.
Among others, yes.
Have some of this dark vodka, Colonel, yeah. By profession, I am a teacher, but in this house, I'm one of the family. Your health.
Thanks. Your health. I feel at home here, too.
Happy Saints Day! You've
missed the pie!
Irina, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Wonderful weather. I've been out walking with the high school boys. I teach them gymnastics, you know.
Smile, Irina. There. You may move now. Oh, and I brought you this spinning top. It has an amazing sound. See, let me show you.
Oh. By the curving bay there grows an oak, an oak of green upon that shore, and on that oak a golden chain, a golden chain forevermore. Oh, why am I singing that? It's been stuck in my head all day.
Oh.
Attention, everyone! 13 at the table.
Surely you're not superstitious.
13 at the table means there are lovers here.
Doctor, it's not you by any chance. I am indeed an old sinner, but no. Though why Natasha should be embarrassed, I simply cannot understand.
I'm so sorry, I have to go.
Look at Natasha. Natasha, wait.
Oh, Andre, Natasha, please, Andre.
Natasha, don't pay any attention to them, please.
Why do they keep making fun of me? Oh, it's bad manners of me to leave the table, but I can't help it. I can't.
Oh, Natasha, sweet, please don't be upset. They're only joking. Really, they are kind-hearted, just a bit, I don't know, full of themselves. Come over here where they can't see us.
I'm not used to being in company.
Darling, listen. They all are gentle, generous people who love me and who love you.
They make me feel awkward.
Oh, don't be upset. You're young, wonderful, beautiful. Darling, I'm so happy. My soul is so full of love. They can't see us. Kiss me. I don't know when I fell in love with you, why I fell in love with you, but I do know this. I love you like I've never loved anyone before. Marry me.
Yes. Yes, I will.
Oh.
Baby Barbeck's not at all well, Andre.
It's nothing, Natasha. It's just a sniffle.
Still, better put him on special food. Why is he so cold? Yesterday he had a fever. Today he's cold all over. I'm so worried.
It's February, Natasha. He's sure to be a little cold from time to time. Really, the boy's all right. Nanny! Could you see to Bobbick?
Yes, Andre, I'm going.
Carnival weeks made the servants so sloppy. Last night, after 12, I found a candle still burning in the dining room. Never found out who lit it and left it. What time is it?
8:15. The mask players will be here around 10.
It would be better if they didn't come, Andre, with Bobbick unwell.
Oh, I don't know. They were invited.
This morning, little Bobbick wakes up, looks at me and smiles. He recognises me. Bobbick, I say, good morning. Good morning, darling. And he laughs. Children do understand, Andre. They understand perfectly. So, Andre, I tell Anfisa not to let the mask players in.
But that's for my sisters to say. They run the household.
Olga and Irina aren't in yet. They're still working, poor things. Olga's at staff meeting and Irina's at the telegraph office. This morning I said to her, go easy on yourself, Irina, darling. But she wouldn't listen. Anyway, I tell them about the mask players. Andre, I think it may be Bobbick's room that's the problem. It's too cold. We should put him in a different room, at least till the warm weather comes. Irina's room is just right for a child. It's dry and sunny all day long.
But it really
Irina could share Olga's room, at least for a while. Well, she's not at home during the day anyway. She only spends the night there. Andre? Aren't you going to answer me?
Sorry, I was just thinking. Besides, I've nothing to say.
Good. I'll tell them when they get back. Oh, Farapont has come from the district council. He's downstairs waiting.
Ask them to send him up.
I ordered just yoghurt for you for supper. It's good for you. Otherwise, you'll never get me thinner.
Come in, Farapont. I said, come in.
Chairman, Protopopov has sent you a letter. Here.
Thanks. But why are you so late? It's after 8 now.
What?
I said you came late. It's after 8.
I got here earlier, but they wouldn't let me in. You're busy, they said, very busy. And I had nowhere to hurry to. What's that?
Nothing. Now, this letter. Tomorrow is Friday. The council won't be sitting. But I'll come anyway if Protopopov wants me. Oh, it's boring here. Today, out of boredom, I picked up this book of old university lectures. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I dream every night that I'm a professor at Moscow University. A respected man. A man the whole country is proud of. And what have I become, in reality? The secretary of the district council with Protopopov as my chairman. Me, secretary of the local council.
I wouldn't know. I don't hear well.
Yes. If you could hear, I probably wouldn't be saying this. I need to talk to somebody, but my wife doesn't understand me, and my sisters would probably laugh at me. I don't drink. I don't like bars. But right now, I'd like to be in Moscow, at Testov's, or in the Bolshoi Moskovsky. Any Moscow bar, in fact.
Moscow, yes! Yes. In Moscow, so a contractor was saying the other day at the council, some merchants were eating pancakes. One of them, it seems, ate 40 pancakes and died. Or was it 50? I can't remember.
In Moscow, you can sit in a huge restaurant. You don't know anybody and nobody knows you. But you don't feel like a stranger. Here, you know everybody and everybody knows you. But you are a stranger. A complete stranger. Lonely and a stranger.
What's that? The same contractor was saying, maybe he was lying, I don't know. He was saying that a rope is stretched all the way across Moscow. Right across.
A rope? What for?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what the contractor said.
Have you ever been to Moscow?
Never. It wasn't God's will. Shall I leave now?
Yes, you go. Come back tomorrow morning and get these papers.
50 pancakes? Or was it 40?
Of course, familiarity explains a lot. After Father's death, it took us ages to get used to not having army servants in the house.
I'm thirsty. Is there any tea?
I think the most considerate and the best mannered men are definitely the military. I've called for tea. It'll be here soon.
Thank you.
I was married at 18. Back then, I was in awe of my husband because he was a teacher. Imagine that.
Well, from what I've seen of the men in this town, it makes no difference whether they're military or civilian. They're equally uninspiring. Listen to any one of them, and what you'll hear is that he's tired of his home, tired of his estate, tired of his horses, tired of his wife.
I barely left school when I married Kalugin.
Well, as I said, military or civilian, it's all the same. The Russian loves to revel in lofty thoughts, so why does he aim so low? Why?
Why indeed?
Why is he tired of his children, tired of his wife? And why are his wife and children tired of him?
You are not in a very good mood.
Perhaps not. I have had nothing to eat since morning. One of my daughters isn't well, and when my girls are sick, I get anxious. I'm riven with guilt for having given them such a mother. This morning, she and I began to argue at 7, and at 9, I just slammed the door and walked out. I never usually speak of it. It's odd, isn't it? You're the only one I complain to. Be angry with me. If it wasn't for you, I would have no one. No one at all.
What a noise in the chimney. Just before Father died, the wind was howling, just like that.
Are you superstitious?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, fascinating. You are a magnificent, wonderful woman. Magnificent, wonderful Masha. It is dark in here, but I can see the sparkle of your eyes.
It's lighter here.
I love your eyes. Your hands. I dream about them. Magnificent, wonderful woman. I am in love. In love, in love.
When you talk to me like that, I laugh. I can't help it. Though it does frighten me. Don't do it again, please. Only do. Oh, what does it matter? Nothing matters. Oh, someone's coming. Talk about something else.
I have a triple name. I am called Tusenbach Frone Altschauer. But I am Russian, Orthodox like you, Irina. There's very little German left in me. Perhaps only this patience which bores you so much.
Oh, Baron.
Anyway, I shall see you home from the telegraph office every evening.
Yes, all right. God, I'm tired.
Ah, good evening, Masha. Colonel.
Irina, come and sit down. Home at last. Are the mask players coming tonight?
Yes.
I must rest. I'm so tired.
When you come back from the office, you seem so unhappy, Irina.
I don't like telegraph work. I hate it. This evening, a woman came to send a message to her brother in Saratov, saying that her son had died. She couldn't remember the address at all. So she sent it without the address, simply to Saratov. She was crying. And I was rude to her for no reason. I haven't got time, I said. So stupid.
You look thinner. Your face is starting to look like a little boy's.
And that's her hair, the way she does it.
I must find another job. What I wanted so much, what I dreamed of, that's exactly what's missing. This is work without poetry, without meaning. The doctor's knocking from downstairs. Auntie and Baron, there's a dear.
Yes.
Oh, I can't. I'm tired. Masha, something will have to be done about the doctor and Andre. They were at the club yesterday and lost again. They say Andre lost 200 rubles.
Not much we can do now.
He keeps on losing. If only he'd lose everything soon, perhaps we could get away from this town. My God, I dream of Moscow every night. Like someone possessed. We were supposed to move there last summer. Now, 18 months have gone by and we say we'll be there in June. And from now to June still leaves February, March, April, May. Almost half a year.
The only thing is Natasha mustn't find out about Andre's losses.
I shouldn't think she'd care.
Here comes the doctor. Has he paid any rent?
Not a kopeck for months. Why are you so quiet, Colonel?
Oh, I don't know. I'd like some tea. Half my life for a glass of tea. I've had nothing to eat since morning.
Irina, my child, shall we play cards?
In a minute, Doctor. Read your newspaper. I'll get the cards.
You know, Masha, I've handed in my resignation.
So I heard, Baron. I don't see anything good in that. I don't like civilians.
It doesn't matter. I'm not handsome. What sort of military figure am I? Still a lieutenant at my age? No, it doesn't matter. I shall work for the first time in my life. Come home in the evening, drop exhausted into bed, and fall asleep. Happy.
You know, I graduated from the same cadet school as you, Baron. I read a great deal, though I don't know how to choose what to read, and the longer I live, the more I want to know. My beard's going grey, and I still know very little, but this I do know with certainty. There is no happiness for us. There cannot be, should not be, and will not be happiness. That's for our remote descendants. Their happiness. That's what we have to work for.
But what if I'm happy right now?
You, Baron? You're not.
What are you laughing at, Masha?
I don't know. I've been laughing all evening.
Well, laugh away. But I say that when we're gone, those who come after us may fly in balloons. The fashion of their coats may change. They may even discover the sixth sense. But life will remain the same. Difficult, full of mysteries, and happy.
Man will still be sighing, oh, how hard life is, and at the same time still be afraid of death and still not want to die. Ah, migratory birds, cranes and geese, they fly on, no matter what thoughts stray into their heads, no matter what philosophers spring up among them. They can philosophize as much as they like, so long as they keep on flying.
But there is some point, some meaning.
Meaning? Ah, look out of the window. It's snowing out there. What's the meaning of that?
Surely we must have faith or be seeking faith. Otherwise life is empty. To live and not know why the cranes fly, why children are born, why there are stars in the sky. Either we know what we're living for or it's all futile.
What we have lost is our youth. And that is sad.
Gogol says living in this world is boring, my friends.
And I say arguing with you is tiring, my friends.
Irina, it says in my newspaper that Balzac was married in Berdichev. Must put that in my notebook. Balzac was married in Berdichev.
Balzac was married in Berdichev. Good, good. Here are the cards.
Thank you, dear child.
Shrovetide greetings, one and all.
Yes, greetings.
Now, Lieutenant Fedotic will tell us what he has brought for the youngest of the Prozorov sisters.
Thank you, Rodé. Irina, I bought you some crayons on Moskovsky Street and this penknife.
Oh, you two treat me like a little doll. Really, you mustn't. I'm grown up now. But thank you, they are delightful. Delightful.
And I bought a knife for myself. Look, here, a blade and another blade. A third, these small scissors. This to clean the nails. This to clean the ears.
Doctor, what's your age?
Me, 32.
Oh, cards! Let me show you a clever form of patience, like this.
Masha, here's some tea, little one. And some for you, Colonel... Oh, dear, I've forgotten your name.
He's Colonel Vashinin, Nanny. Pour the cups and bring them here, would you?
Yes.
And for me, Nanny. Oh, here's Olga. Olga, come in, take your coat off. You look exhausted.
The staff meeting dragged on and on. God, how can I feel so tired? Headmistress is ill, and I'm having to stand in and then battling for the wind to come home as I've been beaten.
Yeah, we're having a wild winter, that's for sure.
Seems the whole town is talking about Andre. They say he lost another 200 rubles at cards yesterday.
Again.
Oh, you've heard.
Come and sit down, darling. And Fisa's bringing tea.
No, I've got a headache. I'm going to bed.
But the mask players are coming.
You enjoy them. All of you. I need to sleep. Good night.
Oh.
Good night.
Sleep well.
Good night, girl.
Good night, girl.
Night.
Poor thing.
Oh, she's right. It's a cruel wind out there.
Yes. I'm tired of winter. I've already forgotten what summer is like. I suppose a happy heart doesn't notice whether it's summer or winter.
See? The cards are coming out right. We shall be in Moscow.
If I were in Moscow, I think I should ignore the weather.
The other day I was reading the prison diary of a disgraced French minister, where he wrote with delight about the birds he saw through the window of his cell. And now he's released, he doesn't notice the birds, of course, just as you wouldn't notice Moscow if you lived there.
No, look, the cards aren't coming out right. The eight falls on the two of spades. It doesn't point to Moscow, I'm afraid.
Rubbish!
Your tea, dears. Oh, and a letter for you, Colonel.
For me? Oh.
Where are the chocolates?
Solly only ate them all.
All of them?
Hmm.
Oh.
My daughter. Forgive me, Masha. I'll just slip out. No tea for me. These endless disasters.
What is it? Why is it secret?
My wife has taken poison again.
Oh.
I'll have to go. I'll slip out. You won't be noticed. It's all very unpleasant. Dear, good, wonderful Masha. I'll slip out quietly.
Where's he going now? I've just poured his tea. It's such a waste.
Oh, go away, woman. Always pestering me. There is no rest from you. I'm sick of you.
Darling, why are you so upset?
Masha, you're in a temper.
If I'm in a temper, don't talk to me.
Bobek is a remarkable child. Babies understand perfectly. Good morning, I say. Yes, I say, Bobek, good morning, angel. And he gives me a special look. Oh, you think that's just a mother talking, but no, no, I assure you.
If the child were mine, I would fry him in a pan and eat him.
You ghastly rude man, how could you?
Sorry, only enough of your jokes. Come and drink some brandy. I'll play the piano all night, all kinds of trash, eh?
Oh, you're an odd one, I must say.
I have a little of the poor Lermontov in me. I am odd, who is not odd. Don't be angry, Aleko.
Yes.
I even look a bit like Lermontov, so they say. I tell you, Baron, I am more honest and more noble than many others here, and I can prove it.
Well, drink your tea, all of you, and clear the table, taking up space with your cards.
Shh, Masha, calm down. Don't touch me.
Don't touch her.
You, Doctor, are 60 years old and you behave like a schoolboy prattling on like the devil.
Dear Masha, you really shouldn't use such expressions in polite conversation. I tell you, with your looks, you would sparkle in well-bred society if it weren't for that language. Je vous prie, pardon, en moi, Marie. Mais vous savez de mon ya à vos gossières.
Give me some cognac, quick.
Et paru que mon popique déjeuner de pain. He's woken up. He doesn't seem to be very well today. I'm going to go to him. Excuse me.
Masha, where did the colonel go?
Home. Something bizarre with his wife again.
Wonderful carnival. And have you seen the food they're selling out there? True Caucasian onion soup and chahatma meat.
Mm. Churemsha isn't meat. It's a plant, something like an onion.
No, my dear boy, chahatma is not onion. It's roast mutton.
And I tell you, churemsha is onion.
And I tell you, chahatma is mutton.
And I tell you, churemsha is onion.
Why should I argue with you? You've never been to the Caucasus and have never eaten chahatma.
I haven't eaten it because I can't bear it. Churemsha smells like garlic.
Stop them, someone. Ah, he's angry. Andre, stop them.
Gentlemen, what is all this? Enough, please.
When are the mask players coming?
Around 10, they said. That's any minute now.
Entertainment! Oh, you porch of mine.
New porch of maple.
Made of lettuce.
Doctor?
Yes, Sonny, what is it?
Yes, madam. She wants you to take a look at the baby.
Oh, very well, I'm coming. Carry on without me. Oh, you porch, you porch of mine.
Ah, the hell with it. Andre, have a drink. Solioni and I will drink with you.
And I'll go with you to Moscow, to the university.
To which one? In Moscow there are two universities.
In Moscow there's one university.
And I tell you, two.
Why not three? The more the better.
In Moscow there are two universities. In Moscow there are two universities, the old and the new. And if you don't want to listen, if what I say annoys you, I can shut up. I can even go to another room.
And farewell, Solioni. ladies and gentlemen, back to the party. I take my rightful place at the piano. And... what? A waltz!
The Baron is drunk, 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 drunk. The Baron is drunk, 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 drunk.
Good day.
What is it?
Time for us to go.
What?
Baron.
If you say so. Oh. Time to go.
Yes. But what about the mask players?
There won't be any mask players, Irina, my dear. You see, Natasha says that Bobek isn't well and therefore... Well, I don't know. I suppose it doesn't matter.
So Bobbick's not well?
Good Lord. Well, if we're being turned out, we must go. It's not Bobek that's sick, but that pretentious lump, Natasha, in the head. Common as muck.
Well, Roday, it's a pity. I counted on spending the evening here, but if the child is sick, of course.
Good night.
Tomorrow I'll bring him some toys.
Let's go out in the street. We can talk out there and decide what to do.
Goodbye, thank you.
Goodbye. You know, Andre,
I've never married because life has flashed by me like lightning. And because I was madly in love with your mother, who was married.
Don't marry, Doctor. It's boring.
That may be so. But my boy, the loneliness. Loneliness is a terrible thing.
Let's go, quickly.
Why hurry? We have time. The club will be open for hours.
I'm afraid my wife might stop us.
Ah, yes.
Tonight, I shan't play, just watch. Mm-hmm. Oof, I don't feel well. What should I do, Doctor, for this shortness of breath?
Why ask me? Don't remember, my boy. Don't know.
Where have they all gone?
Out. The party's over. Good night, Captain Solioni.
They've left you all alone?
Yes. Good night.
I behaved without restraint just now. I was tactless. But, Irina, you're not like the rest of them. You're on a higher plane. I mean, you can see the truth. I've known all along. You're the only one who understands me.
Please, Captain. I'm tired.
I love you, Irina. I'm deeply, endlessly in love with you.
Good night.
I've never felt anything like this about any woman. Your eyes...
Captain Solioni, that's enough.
Well, it doesn't matter. Love shouldn't be forced, certainly. But happy and content rivals I will not accept. No, I swear to you by all that's holy, I'll kill any rival. You wonderful woman.
Oh, excuse me. Captain Solioni. Didn't know you were here.
Doesn't matter. I'm leaving. Good night.
Nasty creature. Irina, I've been wanting to talk to you. I think the nursery Bobbik has now is too cold and damp. Your room is much better for a child. My dear, move in with Olga for a while.
What?
You and Olga in one room and Bobbik in your room. Oh, he's such a darling. Today, I said to him, Bobbik, you are mine, mine. Oh, and he looks at me with his little eyes. So sweet. Anyway, we'll do it tomorrow, shall we? Change rooms. I can't stop now. Protter Popov just dropped by and he's asking me to take a ride with him in his troika. Aren't men odd? Oh, I might just... join him for half an hour or so. Bye.
Here we are, Colonel. Come on in.
Ah, Irina. Look who I found outside.
Oh, what's happened to the party? The mask players?
They've all gone.
Gone? Where? And why is Protter Popov outside waiting in the troika?
Oh, don't ask questions. I'm too tired.
So we have to go too? Well, come somewhere with me, Fyodor Ilyich. I can't go home. Really, I can't.
Has my wife gone home?
She must have.
Then so must I. I counted on spending the evening in pleasant company and... Oh, phallicem hominem spem. Accusative case exclamatory. Good night.
Well, then, I shall have to go somewhere by myself. Good night, Irina.
No one left. They've all gone. All of them. Moscow. To Moscow. To Moscow.
All Kazanovsky Street is in flames, Nanny.
The Vashinins will have to spend the night here. We can't let them go home. Their building only just escaped.
His children are hiding under the staircase. I said, come upstairs. But they keep crying, Daddy, they say. We don't know where Daddy is. Oh, people have gathered in the yard. Some have lost everything, Olga, even their clothes.
I know. I made a pile here. Right. I take the grey dress,
yes,
and this skirt, right, and this blouse.
Yeah. Oh, you'll have to call Ferapont. I can't carry it all.
Yes, Ferapont! What a horror, I feel sick. Ferapont! Come here, to the bedroom!
Yes, miss.
I take these clothes and carry them downstairs.
In the year 1812, Moscow burned. Yes. Holy Mother, the French were astonished.
What?
In the year 1812, Moscow also burned.
Oh, for goodness sake, go on, hurry. Oh,
yes, miss.
Well, give them everything, Nanny. We don't need any of it. Let them have it all. I'm so tired I can barely stand. The Vashinins mustn't be allowed to go home. The girls can sleep in the drawing room. And the colonel downstairs in the baron's apartment. Fedotic's place was burnt to the ground. He can sleep in the dining room.
Yes.
The doctor is dreadfully drunk. We can't put anyone in with him. And put Vashinin's wife in the drawing room too.
Olga, dear. You won't send me away.
What are you talking about, Nanny? Nobody's sending you away.
I do work. I work, but I'll get feeble and everybody will say, go away. And where will I go? I'll soon be 82, but don't send me away, Olga, please.
You're tired. Oh, poor thing. You sit down. I'll take the clothes.
Olga, here you are. Everyone's saying we should form a relief society for those who have been burnt out.
What? Yes, fine, Natasha.
Well, we must be sure to help the poor, Olga. That is the duty of the rich, yes? Oh, Bobek and Sophia are sleeping as if nothing had happened. All these people. Everywhere you turn, the house is full. There's influenza around, and I'm afraid the children might catch it.
It's peaceful in this room, at least. Can't see the blaze.
Oh, let me see your mirror. It must be a mess. They say I've put on weight, but it's not true. Not at all. You, old woman, how dare you sit down in my presence?
But Olga said...
Get up! Get out of here!
Olga?
You go on, Nana. Go to bed. You've done enough.
I'll take these clothes down, and then I'll rest.
Why you keep that old nanny, I do not understand.
What? What do you mean?
Well, she has no reason to be here. She's a peasant. She should be sent back to her village.
What you did then makes me feel physically sick. How could you be so rude to her?
Forgive me. Olga, forgive me. I didn't mean to upset you.
You were brought up differently, I know, but I can't bear that sort of attitude.
Forgive me. Please. It's just... I like order in a house. I have a nurse. I have a wet nurse. We have a maid, a cook. What do we keep that old woman for? What is she for?
I don't understand.
Well, she can't work anymore. She's simply not up to it. She just sleeps and sits.
Then let her sit.
What do you mean, let her sit? She's a peasant. She belongs in the country.
She's been with us for 30 years.
What? Oh, poor dear. You're tired. Our headmistress is tired. When my Sofichka grows up and goes to senior school, I shall be afraid of you.
I shan't be headmistress.
Yes, you will. It's all been fixed.
I'll turn it down. I don't have the strength for it.
We have to reach an understanding, Olga. You have the teaching, I run the house. So
So if I say anything about the servants, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm saying. But, by tomorrow, I want that witch gone. Thieving old hag!
She's not a thief.
Don't cross me on this, Olga. Don't you dare!
Have you seen Marcia? It's time we went home.
No! Really, Olga? If you don't move downstairs, we'll always be quarrelling. We don't want that, do we? Good night. Good night, Fyodor Ilyich.
Good night. They say the fire's subsiding. Managed to keep it to one area, despite the wind. At first it looked like the whole town would go. Oh, I'm tired out, Olga, my dear.
I've aged 10 years in one night.
You're so good. I sometimes think if there hadn't been Marcia, I'd have married you. Listen.
What is it?
The doctor. He's rolling drunk. He's coming this way.
For 2 years, he's barely touched a drop. And all of a sudden, he's got himself drunk. I won't stay to watch him. I can't bear it.
I'll wait for Marcia. I'll sit over there in the dark. With luck, the doctor won't notice me. You go. Good night.
Good night, Fyodor.
To hell with them. To hell with them all. They think I'm a doctor, that I can cure everything. I know nothing. I've forgotten everything. Remember nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, to hell with them. A week ago, I treated a woman in Zesib. She died. My fault. I did know something 25 years ago, but now I'm nothing. Perhaps I'm not even a man. Just have the appearance of hands and legs and head. Perhaps I don't even exist. Just a dream that I walk and eat and sleep. Hell, I wish I didn't exist. At the club yesterday, they were talking about Shakespeare. Voltaire. I've never read them, but talked as if I had. Just like the others. Liars, cheap, mean liars, all of us. And then that woman I killed on Wednesday came back to me. Came back to me like a lead weight on my soul. God, I felt so crooked, so foul, disgusting. So I took to the bottle. Been drunk ever since.
In here, Baron. You too, Colonel.
Good, yes. Somewhere peaceful.
I don't exist. I'm not here.
Doctor, you should go to bed. Is no one else in here?
Only me. I've been sitting in the dark. Huh. The doctor's a little tipsy, aren't you, Doctor? In vino veritas, as the ancients said.
Oh, quite right, thank you. What time is it? Tick-tock, tick-tock. Let's look at the clock. Oh, dear. Smashed to pieces.
Oh, Doctor. Breaking such a precious thing. Zero minus for conduct.
That clock was our mother's.
Perhaps it was your mother's. Perhaps it was mother's. Perhaps I didn't break it, only appeared to break it. Perhaps it only appears that we exist. And we don't really. I know nothing. I don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. What are you staring at, Baron? And you, Colonel? What can you see? Eh? Natasha has an affair with Protopopov. And you don't see it. You sit there and you see nothing. And Natasha is having an affair with Protopopov. It's figs and dates, my love, which keep Russia.
On this night of all nights, just when he's needed, you'd almost think he's done it on purpose.
Burnt out! Burnt out! Absolutely everything. The Fedotic household has disappeared.
It's not funny. Is everything gone, Lieutenant Fedotic?
Absolutely everything. There's nothing left. The photography kit burned and all my letters. I had a notebook to give you as a present, Irina. It burned up too. And my guitar, so that's an end to the music.
They keep asking me to arrange a concert for the fire victims.
Who'd be in it?
If it could be arranged, Masha plays the piano beautifully.
She does play beautifully.
Yeah, she does, indeed.
A hint of genius.
It's 3 years since she's played. She'll have forgotten everything.
Well, think of being able to play so beautifully and know that nobody appreciates your talent.
You're right, Baron. She's a magnificent woman. I love her very much. But is it proper for her to take part in a public concert? Perhaps it would be all right. Our headmaster is a fine man, but he does have firm views. Of course, it's none of his business, really, but just the same, I might just check with him. What do you think, Colonel?
Perhaps, yes. I got all covered in dirt with the fire. I look a mess. Yesterday I heard that they might transfer our brigade somewhere far away.
Some say Poland. Hmm. Others say it could be Siberia.
The town will be deserted.
So I lose my home, but I'm leaving anyway. Yeah. I'd better find Rodé. Make sure he's all right. Good night.
Good night.
Yes. What a strange life we lead. When the fire began, I ran home. My two girls were standing at the door in their underwear, terrified. Their mother nowhere to be seen. I thought, my God, what more will they have to live through in this world? I grabbed them, brought them here, and found their mother ranting and furious. God, I want most desperately to live. To love must young and old surrender. Dum dum. Dum 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 dum.
Masha, what are you doing up there? Come in.
Is my husband asleep, Irina?
No, I'm here, waiting for you in the dark.
You should go home, Fyodor.
My darling Masha, my dear
Masha.
She's
tired, look. You should let her rest.
As you wish. As you wish. I'm going right away. I do love you, my one and only.
Amo amata mata marmot amartis amant.
Isn't she amazing? We've been married 7 years, but it seems like only yesterday. Word of honour. What's the matter, my love?
Oh, it's Andre. He's mortgaged the house to the bank when it belongs to the four of us, not just him. And Natasha has taken all the money. I can't stop thinking about it. It's like a nail being driven into my head.
Well, what does it matter, Masha? Andrea was money all round. Well, God help him.
His living with that woman. It's made him so inert. When everyone went off to help with the fire, he just sat there in his room playing the violin. You heard him, Masha.
I don't want anything for myself, but the unfairness, it makes me furious. Go home, Fyodor.
I shall. You are tired. You rest here for half an hour. I'll sit up at home and wait. You sleep. I am content. I am content. I am content.
And it's all so dull. So dull. So dull.
Once, Andre had his sights on a professorship. Yesterday he was boasting that he'd become a member of the district council at last.
He's just a member, while Protopopov is chairman. The whole town is laughing at us, and he's the only one who sees nothing and knows nothing.
Oh. Oh, Irina, you look so pale. You're sad. Still, you brighten this darkness like a lantern.
I'll soon be going to the brickyard to start work.
It's all been arranged. You could come away with me. We could work together.
That's enough now, Baron.
Yes, of course. Looking at you now, Irina, I remember that saint's day of yours. You so bright and happy and praising the joys of work.
Hello. Why are you all sitting in the dark?
Go away, Captain Solioni. No one's to come in here.
But why is it the Baron can and I can't?
Go on, Solioni. We'll go to the dining room for a while. Leave the family in peace.
Very well, Colonel, but I'll make a note of this. This story could be made more clear, but might provoke the geese, I fear. Baron?
Oh, for goodness sake, stop it.
Solioni, enough. Come on. How's the fire?
It seems to be dying down. I find it very odd that the Baron can stay and I can't.
After you, Captain. Out. Out. Dum dum
dum dum dum da 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 da. There are tears in your eyes, Irina. Go to bed. It's getting light.
Baron, do go on.
I'm going, Masha. You know I'd give my life for you, Irina, don't you? Let her sleep.
Yes. Sleep. Irina, I'll go with the Baron.
Are you going home?
In a while. In a while. Da 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 da. Don't cry, Irina. Get some sleep. Yes, yes, I will. My God.
Irina? What is it? What is it, darling?
Who can take me away? Take me away from all this. Oh. I can't stand it anymore. Where's it all gone? Oh, my God. My God. I've forgotten everything. It's muddled in my head. I don't remember what the Italian for window is, or ceiling. I'm forgetting everything. My life's slipping away, and it will never come back, and we'll never get to Moscow. I can see that. We'll never go.
Darling, darling.
I can't work. I won't work. I'm sick of it. I hated the telegraph office. And now I work for district council and I hate that too. I'm nearly 24. I feel like my brain's drying up. I'm getting thin, getting old, getting ugly, and there's nothing. Nothing. No joy of any kind. And time is passing, and I'm moving away from anything real, anything beautiful, further and further away to an endless dark hole. How I'm alive, how is it I haven't killed myself is beyond me.
Don't cry, little one, don't cry. There. That's enough.
Oh, no, I'm not crying. I'm not crying anymore. Enough.
Darling, I'll tell you as your sister, as your best friend. If you want my advice, marry the Baron. It's true, he's not good-looking, but he's decent. And honest, you respect him, I know you do. And people don't marry for love, but to do their duty. That's what I think. Anyway, I'd marry without being in love. I'd marry anyone who asked me as long as he was decent. Even if he was old, I'd marry him.
I still dream of our move to Moscow all the time. How I'd meet my real love there, in Moscow. But it's all just silliness. Just my own silliness.
I do understand, believe me. When the Baron left the army and came to see us without his uniform on, I was shocked. He seemed so plain, so ordinary.
Yes.
He asked why I was upset. What could I tell him? But, Arena, darling, if it's God's will that he should marry you, then I will be happy. I shall.
I forgot my wrap. I've seen the Baron in his apartment. He won't bother you tonight, darling. Natasha's creeping about the house white-faced, as if she was the one who started the fire.
Masha, you are silly. You are the silliest one in our whole family. I'm sorry, forgive me.
It's all right. Oh, sisters. Dearest sisters. There's something I have to tell you. I'll confess to you and then tell no one else ever. It's my secret, but I want you to know everything. My soul's in torment. I can't keep silent. I love that man. He's in the dining room now. Well, there it is. In a word, I love Vashinin.
Masha, stop that. Stop it. I refuse to listen.
What can I do about it? At first he seemed strange, then I felt sorry for him, and I began to love him. I began to love his voice, his misfortunes, his two little girls.
I'm not listening. Whatever silly things you're saying, I can't hear you.
No, Olga. You're the silly one. I love him. It's my fate, my destiny. And he loves me. It's terrifying. But is it wrong? Oh, Irina. How are we going to live? What will become of us? In novels, love seems so easy, so predictable. But when you fall in love yourself, you begin to see that nobody knows anything. It's up to each of us to resolve things for ourselves. My darlings, my sisters. Oh, there. I've confessed to you, and now I'll be silent. Now I'll be like Gogol's madman. Silence. Silence.
What do you want, Ferapont? I don't understand.
Andrei Sergeyevich, I've told you 10 times.
First, I am not Andrei Sergeyevich to you, but counsellor.
The fireman, counsellor, ask your permission to get to the river through your garden. Otherwise, they have to go all the way round, and they're exhausted.
Tell them very well. Now go.
As you say, counsellor.
Damn that Ferapont, he's made me lose my temper. Oh, look at you three. It's high time you stop this nonsense. What? Let's have it out, once and for all. What have you got against me these days? Huh? What?
Let it rest, André. We'll talk it through tomorrow. The fire's put everyone on edge.
No, I'm asking you calmly. What have you got against me? Come on, speak up.
Goodbye, Olga. God bless. Sleep well, Irina. Goodbye, André. Leave them. They're tired. Tomorrow you can have it out. Goodbye.
Masha's right, André. Let's put it off till tomorrow. It's time for bed.
No. I'll just say this, then I'll go. You have something against Natasha. That's been clear from the day we married. Natasha is a fine woman. Straightforward and honest. That's how I see it. I love and respect my wife. I respect her and insist that others respect her too. Do you understand? Secondly, I know you're angry at me because I haven't become a professor. Well, I serve in local government, and that's just as important. I'm a member of the district council, and I'm proud of it, if you must know. In the third place, yes, I mortgaged the house without your permission. I was forced to by debts, and I ask you to forgive me. 35,000. I don't play cards anymore. Gave it up long ago. But what I can say in my own justification is that you girls, you receive a pension while I have no income to speak of.
Hello?
Not now, Fyodor.
Is Masha not here? Then where is she?
She's gone, Fyodor.
That's strange. I'd better find her.
Listen to me. Natasha is a superior, honest person. When I married, I thought we should be happy. All of us. Happy. But, my God, you don't believe me. My sisters, my dear sisters, don't believe me. Don't believe me.
Olga, have you heard? They're taking the brigade from us, transferring it somewhere far away.
That's only a rumour.
We'll be left alone then. Olga?
What?
Olga, you're right. I do respect the Baron. He's a good man. I will marry him. I will. Only we must go to Moscow. Please, darling, let's go. There's nothing in the world better than Moscow. Let's go, Olga. Let's go.
Good man, Lieutenant Fedotic. And you, Rodin. Goodbye, my friends.
Yes, goodbye to you both.
Don't make it so final, Baron. They'll see us again, I'm sure.
No, Irina. This is a soldier's goodbye. We shall never meet again. Goodbye, Baron. Farewell, Fyodor Ilyich.
Dear, dear. Now I'm beginning to cry.
Stand still, Irina. One more photograph for the last time.
Baron, thank you all for everything, for everything.
Write to us, though. Be sure to write. Now, I must go myself. I have some papers to see to.
Goodbye, trees! Goodbye, Echo!
I wouldn't be surprised if you got married in Poland, Rode. Your Polish wife will cuddle you and whisper sweet nothings in Polish.
There's less than an hour to go. Out of our battery, only Solyoni is going on the barge. We're with the rank and file. Soon peace and quiet will descend upon the town.
And terrible boredom.
Goodbye. I must go or I'll start crying. Irina, your hand. Thank you. It's been good living here.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This is a memento for you, Fyodor Ilyich. A notebook with a pencil.
Thank you.
Well, we'll go this way, to the river.
Yes. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye?
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
There. Gone. Oh, hello, Doctor.
I'm leaving tomorrow, too. One day left. In a year, they will retire me. I'll come back here and live off my pension. I'll live here beside you girls and become a changed man. I'll be such a quiet, right-minded, respectable old man.
And you really should change your life, dear Doctor. You really should.
Yes, I think you're right. Tararaboom. You sit on the step all day.
You are incorrigible, Doctor. You're incorrigible.
Well, if you'd only teach me how, Fyodor, I'd reform. I would.
Fyodor, you've shaved off your moustache. I can't bear to look at you.
Why not?
Well, I could tell you what you look like now, but it would be bad manners.
Well, it's the done thing now. The modus vivendi. Yeah. Our headmaster shaved off his moustache, and as soon as I was promoted, I shaved mine off too. Nobody likes it, but that doesn't matter. I am content. I may be with the moustache or without a moustache. Either way, I'm perfectly content.
What was happening on the boulevard yesterday?
What happened? Nothing. A lot of fuss. Doesn't matter.
They're saying that Solioni and the Baron had a row outside the theatre.
Be quiet, man. There's nothing, Irina.
Apparently, Solioni kept picking on the Baron. Eventually, the Baron had enough and said something insulting.
There's nothing to worry about. It's all just nonsense.
Nonsense. Yes. In a theological seminary once, a teacher wrote on a competition paper, nonsense, and the pupil read, consensus. Thought it was written in Latin. Jolly funny. The word is that Solioni's in love with Irina, and that's turned him against the Baron.
Well, it'll all be over soon. Tomorrow the Baron and I are getting married and I'll start work as a teacher. A new life, a new beginning. You know, when I passed my teacher's examination, I cried with joy. I was so happy. The cart will be here soon for my things.
Ah, love. I can quite understand Solioni falling for you, Irina. You are like Marcia. Very pretty. Always thinking. Although you have a gentler character. Marcia, too, has a fine character, too, of course. I do love her. My Marcia.
When I made up my mind after the Baron proposed, it was as if wings had grown on my soul. I felt such relief, so much happier. And once again, I felt the desire for work, to be useful.
Little Irina. I can't keep up with you. I'm like a bird of passage that's grown old and can't fly. You fly on, my dear. Fly on and God bless you. Fyodor, about shaving off your moustache. Mm-hmm. It was a mistake.
That'll do from you. Well, today the officers are leaving and everything will go on as it was before they came here. Whatever anyone says, Marcia is a good, honest woman, and I love her very much. People's fates differ. In the taxation office, there's a man called Kozirov. He went to school with me. He was expelled because in Latin class he couldn't understand the grammatic principle of ut consecutivum. Now he is terribly poor, ill, and when we meet, I say to him, "Greetings, ut consecutivum." Yes, he says. Consecutivum. And then coughs. And here I am. All my life I've been successful. I am grateful for my fate. I have the order of Stanislav, second degree, and am teaching the ut consecutivum principle myself. Of course, I am a clever man. Cleverer than many others. Though in truth, that's not where happiness lies. Listen. The Maiden's Prayer.
Tomorrow evening I shan't be hearing the maiden's prayer anymore. Nor having to face Protopopov at work.
Yes, well, none of it seems quite serious to me. But I wish you luck with all my heart, Irina.
Protopopov is in the house again. He's sitting there very comfortably in the drawing room. It's been so hard living here without Olga now that she's the headmistress and living in at the high school. I've been alone and bored, and I hate the room they've put me in. So I've made up my mind. If it isn't my lot to live in Moscow, then so be it. That's my fate. There's nothing to be done. It's all God's will. That's the truth. The Baron is a good man. It is really amazing how good. But there's something going on. I wish you'd tell me.
That's nonsense. Ah, now there's our headmistress going into the house.
I wonder where Masha is. Come on, Irina, let's go inside.
Yes, all right. But there's something mysterious.
Tararabunye. Sit on the step, won't I? Sit on the step all day.
There he sits, all day.
Ah, Masha, sitting is no sin.
Doctor, did you love my mother?
Very much.
And did she love you?
That I can no longer remember.
Here's my man here. Our cook used to call her policeman, that, my man. Here's my man here.
Not yet.
When you have happiness in snatches, in bits, and you lose it, like me, then little by little, you harden. You grow bitter, boils up inside. Look over there. There's Andre pushing little Sophia in her pram. Andre! Andre, come over here! That's how it is, Doctor. Protopopov is inside and Andre's out here pushing that baby. All our hopes gone. Thousands of people raised the great bell. Much effort and money were expended, and then suddenly it fell and shattered. Suddenly and for no reason. That's how it is with Andre.
Oh, Masha. Doctor, when are you off?
Soon. The first, second and fifth batteries are going at 1 o'clock sharp. And I leave tomorrow.
The town will be dead. As if they'd covered it with a shroud. Something happened yesterday near the theatre. Everybody's talking about it, but I don't know what it was.
Nothing, just nonsense. Sully only began to pick on the Baron. The Baron lost his temper and insulted him, and it got finally to the point where Sully only challenged him to a duel. They're preparing now, in the forest over there, across the river. Sully only imagines he's the dueling poet Lermontov. He writes verse too, apparently. But this is his third duel. That's taking the joke a bit far.
Whose third duel is it?
Solioni's.
And what about the Baron?
What about the Baron?
In my view, to engage in a duel or to be present at one, it's simply immoral.
You think so? It really doesn't matter. Since we're not really here and there's nothing in the world, how can it matter?
It shouldn't be allowed. Solioni might wound the Baron or even kill him.
The Baron is a good man, but one Baron more or one Baron less. Does it matter? Let them get on with it.
How can you talk like that? It's always the same. Talk, talk, talk. All day long, everyone just talks. Stuck here forever preparing for the snow, and the talk goes on and on and on.
Come on! It's almost this way, please, gentlemen, this way!
That's Skvortsov shouting. Solioni's second. Come on. Let's go inside.
I'm not going into that house. I can't. Not anymore. I'll go for a walk till I calm down. Geese are flying south already. They're the lucky ones. The dear ones, the birds of passage. When Vashinin comes, send someone to let me know.
When the officers go, our house will be empty. You'll go, Doctor. Irina will be married. I'll be left alone.
What about your wife?
My wife is my wife. She is honest and decent, yes, but sometimes she's like a little blind, bristling animal. Not a human being, anyway. You're the only man I can open my soul to, Doctor. I do love Natasha, it's true, but sometimes she seems to me just vulgar. Then I lose faith in my own feelings. I can't understand why I love her, or anyway, did love her.
Auntie, old friend, I'm going away tomorrow. We may never see each other again. So here's my advice to you. Put on your hat, take up your walking stick, and start walking. Start walking and don't look back. And the farther you get, the better.
Doctor, it's time. 12:30.
In a moment, Sir Leone.
You're attending the due.
I'm a doctor. Someone has to. Frankly, I'm sick of you all. If anyone asks for me, say I'll be back soon.
How's your health, old man?
Sweet as vinegar.
No need to be upset. I'll just indulge myself a little. I'll just wing him like a snipe. You know, I've used a whole bottle of perfume on my hands today, and they still smell like a corpse. Do you remember the poem? And rebellious, he seeks the storm, as if in storms were peace.
Yes, yes, before the man could turn and flee, the bear had grabbed him hungrily. Come on, let's get it over with.
Hello, over here,
this way,
in the clearing.
Some papers to sign, Counselor.
Not now, please.
But that's what papers are for. So they can be signed.
Oh, very well. I'll sign them in the summer house. Take your hat and walking stick, he says. My God.
What's that?
Nothing. Come on.
Oh. They said Marsha was out here.
She's probably gone beyond the trees. No sign of Vashinin yet?
No. You're worried. What is it?
My love, I have to go too. I have to go and see my comrades off.
Baron, what happened yesterday outside the theatre?
Oh, nothing. I'll be back in an hour, my love. Yes, oh, my love. Oh, I've loved you for 5 years. I still can't get used to this. Wonderful hair. And your eyes. Oh, we'll go away tomorrow. We'll work. We'll be rich. My dreams will come true. Oh, you'll be happy. Except for that one thing. You don't love me.
No. I'll be your wife. Faithful, obedient. But I can't pretend. There is no love. I've never been in love. I've dreamed of it endlessly, day and night. But my soul is like some fine piano that's locked and the key's been lost.
Nothing in this life frightens me, but that lost key is like a torture. It gives me no rest, no sleep. Say something to me. Say something.
What? What shall I say? What?
Something.
This is nonsense. Stop it.
Oh, sometimes the silliest things suddenly take on great meaning. You know it's ridiculous, and yet you won't let it go. You haven't the strength to stop. Oh, look over there. I see the firs, the maples, the birches, as if I were seeing them for the first time, and they're all looking back at me, curious, waiting. What beautiful trees, and what a beautiful life we should have in their shade.
Come on, gentlemen, sway! Hurry along!
I must go. It's time. One of those trees is dead, but it still waves with the others in the wind. That's how things are, I suppose. Even in death, we still share in life in one way or another.
This way, please, gentlemen, this way!
Goodbye, my love.
The papers I mentioned are lying on my table, under the calendar.
I'll come with you.
No. No. You go and find Masha. Irina?
What?
I haven't had any coffee today. Tell them to make me some.
But Andrei Sergeyevich, you didn't sign this one. Look, no signature. Counselor, the papers aren't mine. They are official. I didn't make them up.
Oh, Ferapont. Where is it gone? My past?
Sorry? I don't hear.
Why is it that when we have barely begun to live, we grow dull, lazy, indifferent, useless, unhappy? 100,000 people living here, and there isn't one who's not exactly like the others, no one outstanding, not one scholar, not one artist. They just eat, drink, sleep and die. And to keep from being stupefied by boredom, they relieve the monotony with gossip, vodka and cards, and the wives deceive their husbands, while the husbands pretend not to see anything, and the poor children. The divine spark dies in them and they become the same pitiful corpses as their parents. 100,000 of them.
100 degrees of frost they had in Petersburg this winter. The doorman at the Treasury was telling me.
Freedom. Perhaps in the future we'll have that. My children freed from idleness, from kvass, from goose with cabbage, from naps after dinner. Dear Lord, I hope so.
1,000 people were frozen, he said. It was in Petersburg. Or was it Moscow? I don't remember.
Oh, my dear sisters. My wonderful sisters. Masha, my lovely sister.
Who is it gabbling away out there? Is it you, Andrei? If you want to talk, give the pram and child to somebody else. Ferapont, take the pram from your master. Take the pram!
Yes, madam!
Here, Ferapont. You can pick the papers back to the council. I'll be in my study.
Take the pram to the front door, Ferapont. The front door, man!
Nanny, here, give these to those beggars.
Off you go, my friends. Oh, hard lives they have. Only the hungry sing for the supper.
Oh, there you are, Olga. The Baron's gone to see his friends off.
Masha! Masha!
Fyodor's the only person in town who's pleased to see the military leaving.
Yes. Yes, but he's gone the wrong way. Masha's set off in the other direction.
Oh, Irenka, you should see how I am living. At the high school in the government apartment with Olyushka. God has granted me this for my old age. Never in my life have I lived like this, sinner that I am. A whole room for me and a little bed of my own. Oh, Mother of God, there's no one happier than I am.
Ladies, I came to say goodbye.
Colonel Vashinin.
We don't have long. The troops are assembling now.
You will write?
Yes, of course. Where's Masha?
She's somewhere in the garden, Colonel. Masha! We'll look for her. Come on, Nanny. Masha!
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 So, Olga, everything must end. And here we are parting. I wanted to come earlier, but the town gave our company lunch. We drank champagne, the mayor made a speech. I ate and listened, but in my heart I was here with you all. I've grown used to you.
Are we ever to see you again?
Probably not, I'm afraid. Well, my wife and my girls will follow me in about 2 months, please. If they need anything.
Yes, yes, of course. Be sure of that.
Well, thank you for everything. Forgive me if anything was not quite... Well, I've talked too much. Far too much. Forgive me for that, too. Don't bear me any grudge, Olga Sergeyevna.
No, why doesn't Masha come?
What else can I say? More philosophy. Life is difficult, yet things do get less murky, and the day can't be too far off when it will be totally clear and bright.
Things don't turn out the way we'd like them. I didn't want to be a headmistress, yet I became one. And that means we will not be living in Moscow.
It's time for me to go. It's time. The soldier's life, eh? Once we filled our time with marches, invasions, conquests. And now that's gone, there's just an enormous empty space. Humanity's searching passionately for something to fill it with. You know, if culture were combined with human industry and industry with culture, then... Sorry. Talking too much again. It's time. I must...
Get over there. Here she comes.
Masha. I came to say goodbye.
Goodbye, my love. No, no.
Then write to me. Don't forget me. No, no. No, no. Let me go. No, it's time. Olga, take her. I'm already... No, it's time. I'm late.
No! No! Masha, stop. Come on, darling.
No matter. Let her cry, let her. My good Masha. My kind Masha. You are my wife, and I am happy whatever happens. I don't complain. No reproach. Olga's my witness. We'll live again as we did before. And I won't say one word to you, not a breath.
By the curving bay, there grows an oak of green upon that shore.
Be calm, Masha, be calm.
And on that oak, a golden chain forevermore.
Give her some water.
I'm not crying anymore.
She's not crying now. She's good.
Green. The oaks. Green. I'm mixing it all up. Oh. My life is a failure. I don't want anything now. I'll soon be calm. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What does it mean? By the curving bay. Why does this song keep running through my head? Everything's mixed up.
Oh, you are. Calm, Masha. Oh, that's a good girl. Let's go in.
I'm not going in there. I don't go into that house anymore. I'm not going now.
Let's sit down together, quietly. Tomorrow I'm going away.
In the third grade yesterday, I took this false moustache and beard from a boy. See? Look. I look like the German teacher. Isn't that so? Those boys are so funny.
Really? You do look like that German.
A lot like him.
Irina, you're going away tomorrow. Such a pity. I had grown used to you.
Good grief, Fyodor. You scared me with that beard.
Oh, Irina, darling, I thought I'd give orders to put Andre in your room and his violin. Let him soar away in there. In his room we'll put Sophia. Marvellous, wonderful child. My lovely girl. Today she looked at me with such eyes and said, Mama!
A beautiful child, oh. It's true.
So, tomorrow I'll be all alone here. First of all, I'll give orders to chop down this avenue of firs. Then the maples. Oh, in the evening they look so ugly. Irina, dear, that belt doesn't suit you at all. No fashion sense. You need something light. And a load of flowers. Planted everywhere. Flowers, and there'll be fragrance. What's a fork doing here on the bench? What is a fork doing here on the bench, I would like to know? Who is to blame? I'm going to find out. You, in there, who left this fork on the bench? Shut up and listen.
She's off again.
The soldiers are leaving.
Our friends are going. Well, bon voyage to them. Fyodor, we must go home. Where are my hat and cape?
I took them into the house. I'll get them right away.
Yes. Now we can all go home. It's time.
Oh, is the doctor? Dr. John is for lunch?
No. Olga, a word?
What? What is it?
Nothing. I don't know how to tell you. The Baron's dead. Sullivan shot him. Nothing I could do.
It's not possible.
What happened?
Irina, darling. I don't know how to tell you this. This is a terrible day.
What? Say it quick, for God's sake. What?
The Baron has been killed in a duel.
I knew it.
It was Solione.
I knew.
I'm tired. Must sit down. Let them cry a little. Yes, let them cry. Terran Boondie. Sit on a step all day.
As if any of it mattered.
As if any of it matters.
Listen to the band. They're leaving us. We'll be left alone to begin our life over again, Irina. And we must live. We must live. It's autumn now. Winter will soon cover everything with snow. And I'll go away and keep on working. I have to. I will teach. I'll give my whole life to those who need it. In time, perhaps we'll know what all this suffering is for. No more mysteries.
The music plays so bravely. And my God, despite it all, we want to live.
Time will pass.
We'll be forgotten, but our sufferings will turn to joy for those who come after us. Happiness and peace will come on earth, and people will remember those who live now kindly and bless them. Oh, dear sisters, our life isn't over yet. We shall live. The band plays so gaily. And I think very soon now, we shall know why we live. Why we suffer. If only we knew. If only we knew.
Tararumde. Sit on a step all day. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
If only we knew. If
only we knew.
In Three Sisters by Anton Chekhov, the sisters were Olga Hattie Morahan, Masha Scarlett Alice Johnson, Irina Flora Spencer Longhurst, and their brother Andrei was Alex Waldman. Dr. Chebutikin was Robert Pugh, Colonel Veshilin, Elliot Cowan, Baron Tusenbach, Mark Edelhunt, and Captain Solioni, Jonathan Forbes. Natasha was Leila Krerar, Kuligin Sean Pritchard, Anfisa Shirley Dixon, Ferapont William Thomas, Fedotic Gareth Pierce, and Rodé Aled Bidder. Original music was by Roger Gula and performed by Natalie Holt, Sam Thompson, and Peter Gregson. And The Maiden's Prayer was played by Peter Ringrose. Sound design was by Nigel Lewis. Three Sisters was adapted for radio by DJ Britton and was a BBC Cymru Wales production, directed by Alison Hindle.
You can listen to our dramas again for 30 days via the Radio 3 website. Next week's play is The Skryker by Carol Churchill.
The violinist Midori brings a collection of wonderful but rarely heard late romantic works to London's Wigmore Hall, including Elgar's introspective violin sonata. Her programme also includes Schoenberg's last instrumental work, an arrangement of a Liszt waltz and a lyrical sonata by Richard Strauss. Midori in Concert on BBC Radio 3, tomorrow evening at 7:30.
At 10 past midnight tonight, we'll be hearing a symphony by one of J.S. Bach's sons, Johann Christoph Friedrich Bach. So let's hear music by Bach Senior now. This is an Allemande for lute, played by Julian Bream. An Allemande for Lute by J.S. Bach, BWV 996. And it was played by Julian Bream. This is Radio 3. It's 10 past 11. And slightly later than usual, it's time for this week's Helping of Early Music Late. It's introduced by Aileen Manahan-Thomas.
Hello. Tonight we have a concert of French chansons and drinking songs, given by the ensemble Clément Jeannequin, directed by Dominique Wyss at the Concentus Moraviae Festival last year. The theme of the programme is Bacchus and Cupid, and it was performed in the Knights' Hall of the castle at Moravský Krumlov in the Czech Republic. Well, it certainly celebrates life in the 16th century to its fullest, and we start with a lively parody song by Loisy Compère, Nous sommes de l'ordre de Saint-Babouin.
Oh, this is...